We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, John.
John, I'm on mute.
Yes, John, can you hear me?
Now I can. Now that I've unmuted myself, how are you?
I'm good. How was your vacation?
It was technically a vacation.
Okay. How was a week not at your house?
It was nice. It was really nice.
There you go.
To not be at my house for a week.
Did you finish the puzzle?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
I'll pop a picture in the newsletter on Monday. But I did. I finished it. But I feel disingenuous saying that because I don't know if you saw the puzzle. It's a lot of water and a lot of sky. And I would say the last, I don't know, maybe 75, 80 pieces, I was just popping stuff in. Like maybe it was water, maybe it was sky. I don't really know. But the pieces kind of fit. And looked at it very quickly, you're like, oh yeah, that's a perfectly completed puzzle. But I do better.
So I felt like puzzles don't work if the pieces don't go. Like, you make it seem like you shoved sky into where water goes and
so
water where sky goes.
No, so again, not to, because I'm sure this is what people came to.
This is
to hear.
The banter that you have at the beginning of the green room, John. It's okay, I promise.
So part of the challenge of this puzzle is, unlike pretty much I think every other puzzle I've ever done, the pieces were all essentially the exact same shape. Well, I shouldn't say the exact same shape, but they all had like the basic format of the shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, human beings all have, most human beings have two arms, two legs, a head. All of these pieces had like the two little things that jut from the top and the bottom, and then the part on the sides where those other part of piece goes into, as opposed to many puzzles you have I can't believe I'm going into detail on this, as with many other puzzles you have pieces that are like, you know, you have like four or five or six unique piece sorts. That was not this puzzle, so if I had been dealing with that, then I certainly would have been able to do a much better job getting the exact pieces in the exact spaces where they went, but I didn't. That was not the situation.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why John is such a perfectionist, that you literally broke down this puzzle and how your performance was with it. And like, I could do better. I could do this. And like, no, like, you completed the puzzle. Like, mission accomplished. Good job.
Well, again, I'll take some.
And you're terrible at taking credit. So any good job that I give you right now is not going to work.
Anyway,
were you able to, like, did you detach at all? Like, we'll get to some speaker requests in a second, but I know we had talked about, which I found it difficult because it seemed, cause I told you when I went away to Boston that I was going to delete Twitter from my phone and just kind of not be on the internet. And like day one, details of the contracts are announced, and then day two, like the Knicks are playing the Hawks on Christmas Day, and I've been trying to catch up on some of the news that I missed this week. Oh, hi!
Don't mind her. I'm just putting on an outfit.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I've been catching up on the news this week, and it seems like we are in the dog days of summer, which is the reason for the title of this room. But, you know, we'll hopefully we don't have many big news dumps for the rest of the summer. I don't think they will, at least.
I don't think we're going to get anything else, honestly.
Well, the schedule was the last big one. Like, the only other big thing I could think of is, like, a big trade, which the way the extensions are happening, I don't think any big trades are happening.
I mean,
we might get a Mitch extension. That's the only thing I could think of is a Mitch extension.
I'm honestly, at this point, like, from my understanding, and this is, and when I say my understanding, this is literally from just, like, listening to other people who, like, their full-time job is a job in the NBA media, talk about, like, this time of year. Oh, come on. It's okay. Is that this is basically the time of the year when, like, you know, executives take their vacation, you know, media take their vacation. Like, everybody takes mm-hmm. their vacation. Like, you can't, you know, and obviously it's, you know, people still have phones and whatnot, but I don't know. I kind of think for the next month or so this is going to be it. And to answer your question in terms of detaching, I did I finished my substantive writing for the week on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So other than, like, doing, like, the news and notes sections of the newsletter, I didn't really have anything that I had to write on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then I, of course, was up at 6 o'clock this morning working on stuff for next week. But, like, having those 3 days completely off, and we didn't have any podcasts those days either. So that was
little behind the scenes, everybody. The two shows that you heard this week were recorded significantly earlier than they were originally aired. So now it was good to detach and to wrap up this scintillating open with some weather talk. It is actually fitting that we ended our vacations when they did. Oh, hi. We have a third co-host this morning, it seems.
She's very tired. I'm actually going to take her for a walk around the block, and we're gonna do a little nap time while I'm doing the old green room here.
Great. Apparently, you left the Hamptons, and I left Boston just in time for this hurricane to come down on us. So we'll see, guys. Welcome to our Saturday morning green room live stream. We do this every Saturday. I'm not sure how much of the summer. We might take a bit of a break. We haven't fully nailed down the details, but thank you for tuning in for a little earlier edition of the Saturday morning live stream. The rules are simple. If you have background noise, please mute your mic. John is demonstrating the rules actually at the moment. If you have some noise, please just mute your mic when you're not talking. We're going to try and get as many people up here as possible and stick around here for about an hour. Please do not get offended if we bump you after 5 or 6, 7 minutes so we can give everybody equal time. I'm going to bring the first person up just in case John isn't ready.
Let's do it. No, I'm here.
Oh, John is here. Let's do this.
I'm here. I'm not going.
Multitasking as always. Let's do this. Cameron, welcome to the stage, sir.
Hello, Cameron. How are you?
Cameron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How's it going, guys?
I'm good. How are you, Cameron?
Good. I just want to say, huge fan. I have been listening really since the start of last season, and you guys are great. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate the work you guys do. I haven't been able to be on a green room because I am very much still in college and very much like to sleep in on the weekends. So these 10 a.m. green rooms are not cutting it for me, really. But
enjoy the sleeping in while you can, because that shit ends. Well, I'm not going to say it ends like right after college. It will end at some point. I promise.
Okay, well, so then I'm not going to be able to come on these much more because, yes, I will enjoy it as much as I can.
Hold on. Cam, I have a question. First of all, what college do you go to?
I go to University of Richmond.
Oh, the Spiders!
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Very nice. So is Danny Rocco still the head football coach there?
Absolutely no idea. Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
We're more of a basketball school.
Well, okay. Go ahead, Dan. John,
that
what?
Me so hard because if you put a gun to my head and asked me who the coach of the football team was at Florida while I was there, I would have had the exact same response.
Fair.
No idea.
So when I was at Liberty, our football coach left us for Richmond. That was always a thing. Anyway, congrats on being in the middle of Virginia. The second thing, what is sleep? Like you said, you like to sleep in, and you came to the 9 a.m. green room?
Okay, well, see, I thought someone was going to ask me this. Basically, I mean, if there are any kids, you know, cover your ears, but I had a fun night last night.
You're in college, yes.
Right. So basically barely slept and couldn't really fall asleep. And I'm like, hey, green room's on. I can jump on now. Let's go. I'm having a little bit of Chick-fil-A this morning. Got it delivered. You know how it is. So we're rolling. Awesome.
Well, just so you know, for moving forward, like Andrew said, we may take a little break from these, but we're going to try to switch up the times a little bit. So you should be in luck at some point. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Cool. So I wanted to talk about, I mean, I've had like so many questions prepared, but I guess the one that is most relevant right now is there was a tweet from Seth Partnow a few days ago, basically saying that if he's running a team and it's a championship contender for next season, he would rather have Alex Caruso than RJ Barrett.
Yes.
And it got people really riled up. There were some takes on it that like pretty interesting takes on it that weren't basketball related. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I fully agree with him actually, because, and I'm sure we'll have similar reasoning. People were really upset about it. And listen, I love RJ, but I don't think he's good enough at any one thing right now to be a better contributor or role player type than Alex Caruso. And he also can't be a non-role player because he's not good enough yet to be a star like that. So I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, so I actually, like, I think I fall in the middle of this discussion because if you have been listening to the pod since before last season, you'll know that I think at least among Nick content creators, I'm on the harsher side, or I have been on the harsher side when it comes to RJ. And I started to change my tune this year because for the first time, like I thought it was bad last year. Like not last season, like his rookie season. I keep referring to I have to start referring to this past season as last season. Like he was really bad as a rookie. You'll notice that I'm the one person who never once argued that he should have made the all rookie team. Cause I didn't think of like him, whatever he could have. It didn't really matter to me. And then this season I started to change my tune because I felt like there were significant stretches of the year where he looked the part of a guy who could be, you know, I don't know. Third best. We go back and forth with these things. Like what is he? Whatever. A significantly important ball dominant or maybe not ball dominant piece on a contending team, but somebody who had the ball a lot. And those stretches were interspersed with other stretches where he was not really good on the ball. But the consistent part throughout the entire season was his shooting and after the first 10 games. And I guess where here's my disagreement with Partnow, and this is not my point. This, I think, was get brought up by Ben Ritholtz over at the Strickland, which is that RJ was asked or told or whatever to do a lot of stuff on the ball this year. He was not efficient at those things, other than, like I said, a couple of stretches of games, and we remember those stretches. But for the most part, he was not terribly efficient, you know, still at the rim, you know, as a driver from the mid range. You know, the assist rate went up a little bit. It wasn't a ton, but that's what he was asked to do because this organization, I think we all believe, has an incentive to try to make him, you know, whether it's their version of Jaylen Brown, whether it's their version, like a guy who has the ball in his hands, and that is not going to look pretty all the time for a 20-year-old. So again, back to the point that Ben made on Twitter, which is that, what would RJ have looked like this season if they were just like, you're not going to handle the ball at all. Like, you're going to be Mikal Bridges. We're going to make you our Mikal Bridges. And you're going to focus
all your attention on the defensive end, expel all your energy there, as opposed to what happened this year, which was Bullock usually took the assignment. Like, basically, what if they asked RJ Barrett to be Reggie Bullock and be what Reggie Bullock was for the Knicks this year? Shoot even more threes, defend the opposing team's best wing, you know, maybe do some more cutting, maybe play him up a position a little bit so he sneaks in there for more offensive rebounds. Like, how much more efficient and advanced statistically friendly would that player have been? And where does that player compare then to Alex Caruso? Because to me, that's where the argument falls flat. I don't know how you feel about it or how everybody else in the green room feels about it, but right. that was my big take.
So you're basically saying if we adjust the roles to be equal somewhat, how would they look? And I still think I would take Caruso over RJ last year. I do. And like, I think it's different to say I think RJ is a better player than Alex Caruso, because I do think he is a better player overall, but that doesn't mean his role on a good team is more impactful. But like, well, but like you said, if he were to be in that Reggie Bullock role, I still probably would take Alex Caruso. Or I mean, Caruso is just one example, but you know what I mean? It could be anyone, but I would take a lot of guys over RJ.
I mean, you're comparing basically what do they do off the ball, how are they from three, and what do they do on defense. I would argue that RJ right now is a better – Maybe not that he's performed better defensively than Caruso last year, but that's only because this is a guy who played the second most minutes in the league, and because he's expending a lot of energy on the offensive end. I would have loved to see the version of RJ Barrett who could have dedicated all of his energy or more of his energy to defense. And the other part of it, and this is like, and this is really what this conversation comes down to, and it's not a question, it's not something I have a good answer to, but it is something I spend a lot of time thinking about. What is the value on a team like specifically like the Knicks last year, who had, after Julius Randle and then Derrick Rose once they got him, but again, they only had Derrick Rose for 35 games. What is the value of having someone like an RJ Barrett who, you know, it's like a baseball innings eater. He's going to sop up innings. He's going to sop up possessions.
Right.
Or it's like a late career Al Leiter. Was Al Leiter a good pitcher towards the end of his career? No. I remember watching him go out there at Yankee Stadium and, you know, pitch 4 1/3 innings of, you know, 115 pitches and maybe give up like 2 runs. Is that what you want? No, ideally it's not what you want. But you know what? On this year's version of the Knicks, with the paucity of talent that they had on the ball and guys who were able to do stuff with the ball, they needed RJ to be that guy. And without him being that guy, honestly, there would have been a lot worse. Well, I should mean maybe not a lot worse, but they would have been worse. And I think that role was – and Alex Caruso can't do that. He's never going to be able to do that, which then gets into the other part of the conversation, which I know part now was not – that this was not what he was saying – but the conversation about these two guys as NBA players last season is a very different conversation about these guys as assets moving forward, which obviously that's – I hope he's not saying that, like, he'd rather have Alex Caruso for the next 5 years than RJ Barrett, but who the hell knows? I'm not privy to his thinking. So that's what I would say on it.
Yeah, no, that's I agree. I get it. We need a guy like that. Like, certain teams need a player to just, like, fill that role of being, like, just – sopping up possessions. I get it. And it's funny, like, I'll be the first to say, like, I'm not the biggest RJ guy. And I've heard, I've heard guys on the Strickland be like, what's his ceiling? Like, 6-time All-Star? Are we cool with that? And they say it so nonchalantly. And I'm like, are you kidding?
You've heard my
six-time. Jimmy Butler is a 6-time All-Star. Like, is he going to be Jimmy Butler?
My over-under is 2.5, which I think is being pretty generous. But
he would be a great player if he makes 2 All-Star games. Like, Kemba Walker's made, like, 2 All-Star games. Like, it's insane.
Kemba's made 4. No, 2, I mean, look, 2's really, 2's really good. Like, the guy I always go back to is Michael Finley. Michael Finley made 2 All-Star teams. Michael Finley was the third best player on – was he the third best player on that – he was definitely a third best player or the, like, 2.5 best player on a team that could have won the title. I forget if he actually was. I don't think he was ever on a title team.
He was not.
He was not, right? But, like, Michael Finley is, like, he's a really fucking good player.
Yeah.
You know? Michael Finley got an MVP vote or two over the course of his career. Like, if that's what RJ Barrett is, like, my God, where do I sign up for it? And who knows? Maybe we'll both look stupid someday, and he does make his six all-star teams, and everybody can rub it in our faces, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting fucking ratioed in these comments, so I think this is where I should probably tap out and say, you know what? I guess I love RJ, all power to him, but I'm a little lower, and thank you guys for the time.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for putting it out.
By the way, Cameron, Russ Huseman is the head football coach at Richmond. No, it's not Dan. That's my contribution to this conversation.
Good to know, I guess. Yeah, and now I know who our football coach is, I guess.
You're welcome. And
thank you.
A good principle for life. Just ignore the comment section. Don't worry. Thank you for the call today, Cam.
Thanks, guys.
Wow, John, you met your co-host, commenter. Cam really like spoke to your soul with the RJ hate. I see it.
Listen, he spoke to my soul more last year than this year. This year, I mean, again, all the times I went on the post games and was like, this kid is different. It's because I believe this kid is different, and I believe he has something in him that will push him past what his skill level showed us he was after his rookie year, which frankly, and I did all the statistical deep dives on players who have had statistically similar seasons as rookies. So I I'm a believer that he will push past that and become a star. I believe that. But me, I guess maybe where I disagree with people is if RJ Barrett makes two All-Star teams or three All-Star teams, like, my God, what else do you want from a third pick? Like, there are very few, you know, if you're a six-time All-Star, you're a Hall of Famer. You know, there's not too many of those guys out there. That's all.
I will let the RJ Hive come after you later today.
That's fine.
Next up here on Spotify Green Room, Mr. Justin Richards. Welcome to this.
Yeah, sorry, I was muted for a sec. How's everyone doing today?
John, you good?
You can hear me, John? Yeah.
Justin, how you doing, man? I'm good.
All right, I'm good. I'm good, Andrew. No, it's appropriate because it's apparently this is gonna be a really RJ centric conversation. So I guess it's good that John's muted now. So actually, I had a point about the article, but I forgot which. I think it was your guys' Monday pod where I think you guys were talking about the contracts, and I think John kind of threw out like what RJ might sign for next season.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think I was a guess. Yeah.
I was a little low, admittedly.
A little.
You said Lonzo's contract. Yes.
Yeah. Like, well, I think John was more talking about him getting 5 for 90. I think that was the exact number.
If I said 5 for 90, well, maybe that was bandied about. Let me just state for the record. I think if I was to set the line right now on what the extension will be, I think I would probably go back on what I said earlier, because one, I wasn't thinking straight, and I was thinking like, wait, Lonzo only signed for 4 years, RJ could sign for 5. So really it wouldn't have been 4 for 84, it would have been 5 for 105. And I think I would probably push that to 5 for 120 if I had to say right now.
Yeah, because that's actually what I was going to say was, like, if we all sit here, we think, because Bridges can sign, what, next year?
Bridges could sign this year, as can DeAndre Ayton, can Michael Porter Jr., as can a few.
So we don't. So obviously, I don't think they can't sign up until the 18th of October is the deadline. So maybe they get signed. Maybe they wait. We don't know yet.
As can Kevin Knox, important addition to this conversation.
Signing up. What are we talking?
4 for 60 coming down the news pike any minute now. 4 for 60. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. That's kind of a low offer for us. Anyway, so my point is, what I was going to say is, like, to that, and obviously John just went back on it a little bit, but it's like, if he sees Mikal Bridges get 5 for 100, which I mean, I don't think that's crazy for us to think that Mikal Bridges is going to get $5 for $100 million.
I think that's
his minimum. Him $5 for $9, he's going to throw it back in our face. Yeah, better play. He's going to, whether or not we agree with that or not, like, obviously Cam stayed up too late and thinks he's not good, but like, he's not going to take $5 for $90 if we offer that to him. Like, for me personally, if we think he's going to make this type of improvement next season, and I go back to the fact, and I understand that he was bad his rookie year, much better this year, but the talent around him was so bad his rookie year, and granted Peyton, but the amount of stuff that he was able to do this year to me shows, and if he improves in any, like on the finishing, the free throws, anything, and gets up to a 20-point per game score, the league is handing out bags. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't walk in, because Zion's going to get, what, 1 for 81, Jaws can get 1 for 81, how he's going to ask for anything less. And, you know, I don't know if Knicks fans are going to be like super okay with him getting 1 for 81, but it's like, to me, that's where he's going to start at. And like, we're talking, I think the bar is 150. Like, what's, is it over 150 or under 150? Because if I'm him, I'm like, I'm not signing anything less than one. Like, I'm a third pick in my draft. Like, that matters. And well, he's going to be on a team that we all think is going to win. So why would he take anything less than that?
Well, for one, I think – so the Randall thing is so interesting, right? So Randall signed for the most money that he could have signed for this offseason. He is also a player that, as has been noted, I believe by Andrew several times, it broke his leg in his first NBA game, has been incredibly healthy since then, but like – He has been through the emotional tumult of holy shit, what is my career going to be, and so the reason I say that is Julius Randle is the unquestioned best player on the team, and he just took what everybody would agree is a discount. Does that set some sort of minor precedent for RJ? And again, I was wrong to throw out 4 for 84. That was stupid. However, I don't think it's stupid for me to suggest that he might sign for something like 5 for 125, which is, that is to me where the conversation comes down to, because you're right. RJ's people are going to go in and they're going to say, okay, great. We're the third pick in the draft. He's going to average 20 points next year. You could write it down or whatever, 19, something like that. He's going to, you know, you're going to be able to look up his statistical benchmarks at the end of next season, and you're going to be able to say he's one of, you know, whatever, 35 players with X number of points and X number of rebounds and X number of assists, and he's played out of these games and this thing and the other thing. And, like, his representation would be stupid to not go in and ask for a max. I think that there's a chance the Knicks get him for less than that, and I'm not sure that's me being anything other than naive, but because I don't know that this organization, this front office has shown a willingness to play hardball with players that they want to keep around, and I add that caveat at the end because I want to see what happens with Mitchell Robinson, and I think if they want to keep RJ around for the next 10 years, they want to make him happy, but I have a little bit of a tough time seeing a scenario where they just hand him over a contract that makes him a higher paid player than Julius Randle.
Well, yeah, sorry to cut you off.
Like, yeah, that's, no, that's it. That's
where,
all I wanted to say.
Where the conversation that I want to start with, where it's like, all right, if we're assuming they're going to sign and trade for someone next offseason, that player's already making more than Randle, right? It's either going to be LaVine, Beal. That guy's already making more than Randle. That's one guy. And then, I mean, RJ wouldn't have to get under Randall's number. He's going to have to sign. He potentially is going to leave $80 million on the table.
Well,
like, it's 5 for 100.
So Randall's,
because anything
Randall's,
over than that, he's going to be over than Randle.
But well, so Randle, if you include this year's salary, it works out with the bonuses to 5 for 140. if I understand the contract, the next 4 years correctly, or the 4 years that were added on, excuse me. So that's 5 for $140 is, what is that? 28 a year. It averages out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if he comes in at 25 a year, I think that keeps the pecking order. And I think that pecking order is important, by the way, because
no, I agree. I definitely,
like, this shit matters to these guys. Like, they may say it doesn't fuck it. That fucking matters more than anything. I mean, hopefully winning a championship matters the most, but like they talk about this shit.
Well, that's so, why Steph Curry was like, look, I'm getting my bag after he, who what is he, the sixth highest paid player on his team when he won the title. And then he's the first player to sign two $200 million contracts. Now, granted, like Luka probably will beat that in 15 years, but like that matters. That's why I was always like, Steph's gonna get his bag every time he can, because like he not screwed over $44 million, $44 million, but like you said, like that matters. And to me, I think like I really do wonder, just in a vacuum, like, how is that going to look in, you know, like 2 years? If and granted, these are all ifs. If he's making more than Randall, and I don't know what's on RJ's mind. I don't know if like he thinks I live in New York, I can make this money back. Even though I don't necessarily agree with people saying like, oh, he make that money back in New York. Like, all right, go find the person making $80 million in sponsorship, not named LeBron. Like, it's hard to find.
Yeah, but you know what? A few million dollars a year will buy you a lot of goodwill. And also, the other side of this coin is like, at the end of the day, RJ's team needs to feel confident that they could find another team out there. I think that's what the heart of this question really is. His team, and I mean not his team, the Knicks. I mean his. You know, whatever his agency. whoever's advising
Bill Duffy,
thank you, Bill Duffy, who's been around the block a few times, by the way. They need to know that there is someone out there, you know, willing to do this. And like, I don't know how, honestly, I haven't spent enough time thinking about it. I don't know how to read how this summer's restricted free agent market played out, or quite frankly, is still playing out. You know, hi to Lauri Markkanen, wherever he is. Like, I don't know how to read that in terms of like the effect that it'll have on future summers, specifically where restricted free agency is concerned. But like, if you're asking me right now, is there a chance that there's not a team anywhere in the league who would be willing to offer RJ a full 4 year max? I do think that there is a chance that no one would be willing to do that. Maybe that's completely asinine of me to even put that out there, because teams are desperate for talent and they'll take a chance on a guy even if he shows some flaws. But I think it's at least a conversation. So if that is a conversation, then does RJ look at that 5 for $125 and say, okay, you know what? This is not nothing. I feel okay about this.
Yes. Okay. And this is my like last point that we can boot off. So I've like we've already talked about before. Like, I'm pretty excited for the season. I'm happy that they got a bunch of nationally televised games. I do think that's really important for them. Do we have any idea what the record is going to be, or necessarily the seed of the team? Because I'm very like. I'm not pessimistic, but like I try to like go, all right, what's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? And what's the middle? Like, what's kind of in the middle? For me, the thing that I can't shake is I have no idea what to do with Philly. Like, there's a part of me that thinks that they are going to go into the season with Ben Simmons and it's going to be a train wreck. And that is going to screw them, because, you know, Embiid's missing 20 games minimum. And like, they need to figure out what to do with this guy. And I don't know where he's going anymore. So I can see them being like six. I can also see them being first, just because I can't put them anywhere. But to end the babbling, I think the Knicks are going to be fifth, just based on the fact that I just think they're going to be able to, while I understand the defense might take a step back, I just feel like there's going to be so many teams that are just going to be bad, like really, really, really bad in the East particularly, even though, you know, I think Detroit and Cleveland might give a fighter's chance in the beginning. There's just too many bad teams for me to think that they're not going to be able to stack up some wins. And the fact that they essentially went 0-9 against Brooklyn, Philly, and Miami last year, if they just win three of those games combined, to me, that makes them a significantly higher seed, potentially, than what we projected as. So that's my last point.
Good good stuff as always, Justin. I'll answer this one very quickly because I'm sure I'm going to have a column on it at some point. I think the ceiling is 50 wins. I think the floor is probably 35. I'll go a little bit higher than the difference between those two. I'll probably wind up saying that 45, 46 wins for them. I think they get to like a four seed again if Kemba looks like, you know, whatever you want to say, the guy who was in Boston 2 years ago, the guy who averaged like, you know, 30 a game over a 10-game stretch towards the end of this year in Boston. If that's the version of Kemba we get, then yeah, I think there's a chance this team wins 50 games.
So to tease it, we have a Patreon episode this week where you will go into the different tiers in the NBA and rank all 30 teams. I recommend anybody interested in listening to that sign up for at least our Melo tier and hear where the Knicks fall on that list, because I think it ended up being a very good conversation, a very fair one at the same time.
Speaking of fair, I thought we were going to be low on the Knicks after that pod, and then I happened to browse because the person whose house I was staying at this week gets the Post and the Daily News delivered, and they both did the same thing that we did. They ranked all 30 teams and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I know one of them did. I'm pretty certain I saw the other one somewhere. Maybe it was in the other paper. But in any case, I think everybody, like all of them, have the Knicks like right around where we had them, or even a little lower. So I think we were pretty fair.
Yeah, their Vegas over-under is 40.5 right now, which I don't want to get too into it because we got more people to come up. And again, there's a Patreon episode on this. I don't disagree with that being around the range, but I probably would take the over is my simple couple-word answer on it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Next to the stage, Mr. Jason Meredith, you are on with me and John. How are you, sir?
Good, good. You know, I come into this every day, and I'm like, I don't really have anything to talk about, but let me hear the first few callers, and I'm sure I'll have something to talk about.
And there it is.
John, I got to say, just because you have a bad take and it gets exposed, you don't have to hold on to that bad take. You're way, 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 way too low on RJ Barrett.
Maybe I am. I don't know.
Way too low. I mean, you're talking about him like if he's like some rookie or something that we don't even know anything about. You're like, oh, some team might bet on his potential. What do you mean? If he were a free agent in 2 years, he's getting the max from like five or six teams easily.
Well, my justification is pretty simple. It's the NBA, as was alluded to by the first caller, is there are two types of players. There are players that you pay for what they do on the ball, and then there's everybody else. And RJ hopefully becomes a guy that is an efficient on-ball scorer. And what the reason why I'm not at six All-Stars Hall of Fame yet is because where his efficiency is at right now, we have a long way to go in terms of his overall game inside the arc. I think it's going to get there. I fully believe it's going to get there, but it's the type of thing where I need to see it first.
John, what you're doing, John, is why a lot of people hate analytics. You're using analytics wrong.
How many times does the ball go in the hoop? That's not analytics.
You're talking about his efficiency when he has the ball versus when he doesn't have the ball. And you're using analytics wrong, okay? RJ Barrett took insane leaps last year, and he was playing on a team with bad spacing.
I don't know if I would say a team that finished second.
I was actually probably the least Elfrid Payton hater on Twitter just because I thought everyone blamed Elfrid Payton too much. But how many of those minutes were Elfrid?
There was a lot, but again, the Knicks were really quite efficient from three last year. And by the way, a lot of that was RJ Barrett.
Yeah, on low volume, though, John. We were like one of the lowest shooting 3-point. See, I can use analytics too. On low volume.
It absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I like what they did this offseason, but I digress. Look, it's very simple for me. I need to see him get better at the things that he has already implicitly acknowledged through his trainer, because his trainer has said these are the things that we're going to work on moving forward. Off the dribble shooting from the perimeter, and wiggle getting to the rim and then finishing at the rim. Those are three areas of RJ's game that are either non-existent right now in terms of off the dribble three-point shooting, with all the respect to the couple of shots that he hit for Team Canada, which I was extraordinarily encouraged by. And then the wiggle and the finishing at the rim, which right now I don't know how to say it. It's not good. He gets there, he gets there a lot, which is, I love that. And I pointed that out many times. And with the work ethic and the stuff that we already have, it's why I believe he is going to become a multi-time All-Star. But I guess, I don't know. I don't know how you say you're low on someone if you predict that they're going to make multiple All-Star teams. It's really freaking hard to make an All-Star team.
John, he can make the All-Star team next year, potentially.
Listen,
he's not that far off. You're saying, huh? But if you think about it, he's not that far off.
If he does that, until the last two, maybe 3 weeks before the voting was done or before the game was played, there was like a real thought that Julius Randle was not going to make the All-Star team. I still remember listening to, I'm literally walking the same route that I was walking the day that I listened to this podcast. When Windhorst had on, it was Bontemps and it was, I think, two other guys. And they went through there. It was their first like major, like, okay, who might make the All-Star team conversation? And they had the sure things. They had the guys who were probably going to make it. They had the guys who were in contention for the last spots. And then they had group number four, which was like players, in their estimation at the time, 17 through 25 in the Eastern Conference. And Randle was in that group. And I do not think that they were in the minority in terms of where they ranked him. And that's because despite the numbers that Julius Randle was putting out, and by the way, he was arguably hotter in the beginning of last season than the end, it is really, really, really hard to get in the conversation of the best 30 players in the league at any given time. It's not me being down on RJ. It's me having an immense amount of respect for the other players that exist in this league. That's what it is.
All right, let me jump in here. I'll just say this about the All-Star conversation, because that's not really what I wanted to talk about. You know RJ Barrett's a second-year player, right? Because it sounds like the way you talk about him, like he's been in the league for like 8 years, and you're like, and he has to improve on these things. And like, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. He's played for so long. This is kind of what he is.
He is. I do think he's going to be able to do it. I literally just said, I think he's going to be able to do it, which is why I think he's going to, because here's the thing. If I didn't think he was going to improve, then this would be a very, very different conversation in terms of what I expect.
So then why do you think that if a team were to offer him a max, that would be betting on potential? When it's 2 years away from now. So if a team were to offer him a max, within 2 years, you don't think he would be good enough to get a max? Just off of how good?
So we're getting, not getting semantics. So then let me rephrase that. If he makes the kind of jump that you're saying he will.
It's generally kind of normal for players as, you know, in their third and fourth year, John. It's not like we're talking about players who's 26 years old.
I don't know that saying that someone's going to make a jump to all-star level after their second year is something that we should ever expect.
Did you see how big the jump was after his first year? I mean, I don't understand. Like, again, I just think you're limiting him so easily. It's ridiculous. But my point that I was going to say, and this is what I really want to get at, because it's not about the All-Star conversation. The point that I want to say is about his next contract. That's what I wanted to talk about. All right. He's going to get, if his owner's agents want to be nice with the Knicks and say, hey, you know, we'll work on a deal where we'll come in a little under the max, but he's going to get close to the max. And I don't understand how you can even think that he will get – and I understand that you're going to say, oh, well, Julius got less. Well, that was what Julius decided to do. If you think every player is going to say, I have to come in under Julius because Julius decided that he didn't want to bet on himself and wait till that way he could try to get $200 million, doesn't mean that every other player has to do that. Now he might he might take a deal where he's like I said, they might work with the Knicks and come out. But if they're going to work with the Knicks and come up with a number that's lower – the Knicks are going to have to say the reason why we need to come up with a number that's lower is because we're going to do X, Y, and Z with the rest of this cap space that brings in player X to help you win a championship. Not just give back the money just so we can be nice to you.
Julius did it.
That's the most Julius could have got. Okay, so it's not like Julius said, I'm going to take less than I can get.
Yes, but he also – look, we're going back and forth on the same thing. He could have waited. The point is part of the alleged fact consideration for Randall signing now is to give the Knicks more flexibility moving forward. And I think RJ doing this, and listen, this is not without precedent, by the way. Klay Thompson, it seems like forever ago now, but his first extension, if I recall correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, his number came in at what the max was then, but he did not sign a max contract, which is two different things, because when you sign a max contract, obviously your salary goes up with raises. The contract that Klay Thompson signed at the time he signed it was just like they set the numbers in stone. It was not a percentage of the cap.
It didn't have 8% raise increases, right? Is that what you mean?
Well, the max you could get is 8% raises, but the when you sign a max contract, you're signing for a percentage of the cap. The point is, Thompson was at the time, I think, look, if after year three, RJ is on Klay Thompson's level, I think we should all be, you know, doing dances.
I have a question for you, John. Outside of Klay Thompson, how many players has actually done that?
Well, Giannis did it. There's been others.
But it's few and far between. So, I mean, look, I hope he, like I said, there's a chance that he might work with the Knicks. But this idea that he's going to, like, come in way under that that's not going to happen. Not when Ja Morant and Zion are getting 4 or 5 years, $180 million, or whatever the max is.
Well, look. Let's be honest,
Ja Morant hasn't made an All-Star team yet either.
No, he hasn't, but that's – I
know. I think he's going to make one this year, but I'm just saying, like, I
very much hope that we are having a conversation a year from now in which – we are putting RJ Barrett into the exact same conversation as John Morant.
We were actually having that conversation this year because there was when the Knicks beat the Grizzlies twice, John Morant was playing fucking terrible, and he came back and started playing great around the playoff times again. But just remember that, like, that's why I say these conversations, like, you're making it seem like if RJ's like, I don't think you realize how good he is. Like, and how good he is as a second-year player. Like, that doesn't happen. You don't become this good as a second-year player, and then all of a sudden you never get better. Like, that doesn't happen. He's 21 years old.
He got a lot better. I think he's going to get even better from here. I think it's just the beginning for him, and I'm excited to see everything that comes. It's just, again, max contract players, guys who make the All-Star team, these are the top of the league. I hope he gets there. And if he does, and if he makes 4, 5, 6, 7 All-Star teams, boy, will there be all kinds of egg on my face, and will I be the first person to take a picture of myself with said egg on face and disseminate it.
I hope I'm going to leave now, but I hope Schwinn comes on this pod so he can argue with you about this.
I hope he doesn't. Bye.
Jason, thank you. Were people waiting a whole week just to yell at you about suggesting the Lonzo contract? Jesus.
Oh, I mean, it's possible.
What's going to be hilarious is if at some point next season, like, say he does make the All-Star team next year, and then they extend him for, like, $150, so it's right in the middle of this max or what we suggested, and so we're all right, technically, you know? Wow. People came here with the heat this morning. Okay, next up.
Well, let me go ahead.
What's up, John?
It didn't come up explicitly in the conversation, but let me just say, if he makes the All-Star team next year, he's getting the max. I mean, that's...
Well, that's the thing, is all of this is based off of... And listen, this is where working with you for so... You've made it... Like, you're a numbers guy. You're a precedent what's already happened guy. And, like, that's why I always tend to respect and agree with most of your things. But sometimes the ability to project is where people come at you with, actually, no, this is what's going to happen. It's like, all right, well, we'll see what happens, and then I will react when it happens. And I don't know, there's two different ways to react to sports like that, you know? Anyway, next up into the chat, I think Mello's here, and this is the same Mello that lit our chat on fire last week with that Miles Turner rumor, correct?
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think.
I don't know.
What's good, fellas? What's good? What's good? What's good? Good
morning. What's up, Mello? How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right, Andrew. What's good, Macri? Hope you guys stay safe during the hurricane. You know, nothing bad happens. So, guys, I had two questions. Like, Mackie, I'm not even going to discuss the RJ thing. I'm not even going to bother. It's been too long. Like, we've been talking about this for 20 minutes. Like, I'm sorry. It's done. Like,
you're fine. Good. Thank you.
But I disagree with whatever Mackie say, but I'm just not going to entertain it, right? I respect Mackie. You know, I'm not going to entertain it. But the two points I had, right, it's not really statistical. It's just attitude and perception of the team. So my first question was obviously, like, we don't know these guys, right? Like, we don't know who these guys are as people. Like, we know, we get a gist of them, but we don't know them personally, right? But what I get from looking from afar is that Kemba, Randall, RJ, Derrick Rose, Fournier, all these guys, they kind of have a similar personality in a way. You know what I mean? Like, they're all different, but they're all similar in a way. And I feel like Mitch doesn't really fit with that, right? Like, I don't think he really, like, like, when it comes to, like, you know how quickly and Obi, they're in New York working out, they're doing all this, but Mitch isn't really doing that. Like, do you, Macri, do you think that, the front office is taking that to account? And, like, are they looking at that as well? Or is it just me, like, overthinking this, like, oh, like, personalities, like, they're different, obviously, but, like they don't really matter. That's one of my points. And my other point was about the whole Dwayne Bacon thing. Like, do you think they actually value him? Like, because he is 24, 25, right? Do you think they see something like, oh, maybe you can, like, spark something like Scott Perry probably wanted him on the team or something like that? Those are my two points I just wanted to
ask. I'll address the Bacon thing first. I actually had Bacon this week as I was on vacation.
Oh, great.
It was quite good. I think it's a classic Perry pickup, high pedigree or high talent guy who can make shots. Hasn't worked out for a variety of reasons. I don't think it says anything other than, hey, let's bring this kid in camp and see what he's got. In terms of Mitch, I don't think they care what Mitch's personality is, I think my suspicion, which is not backed up by anything other than my own personal opinion, and I'm not getting this from anywhere, my own personal suspicion is that they look at maybe his decision-making and the people that he trusts and things of that nature and wonder, because, like, to be a true – and this, I hope I'm not going too far on a limb here, but to me, to be a truly great NBA player, like, we've seen really talented guys fail because they just can't get their lives together. The difference with Mitch is, like, again, from everything I understand about him, he's not someone that goes out. He's not someone that parties. He's not someone that drinks. He's not someone that, like, gets into bad shit. He's just immature. So, like, if you think that immaturity isn't that big of a deal and that he's just going to grow out of it and he can still do what he does on the court, then it's not a concern and it shouldn't be a concern. If you're asking me to say whether the Knicks, how big of a deal they think that is, I can't tell you. I honestly have no idea. All I know is what I see. And what I see is they had an opportunity to lock this kid up for the foreseeable future, and they had the ability to do so. And to them, they would rather venture out into the unknown, which is, you know what? He's going to be an unrestricted free agent here. Maybe we could reach an extension, and maybe who knows? Maybe we get news on a Mitch extension today.
I would actually cry in a bad way. My grief to get an extension for him. I'm not going to lie. I just don't value him that much. I just think. Continue. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No. It's just I think there's, like, I was having this conversation in a text chain with Andrew and my buddies Bernard and Yash yesterday, where it's like it depends, like, your valuation of the center position in the league today for a guy that fits Mitch's archetype is like, you may say like the Robert Williams contract is fucking terrible. You may look at the Robert Williams contract and you may say, "Oh, you know what? That's pretty good value for a guy who still has room to go." You know, and you may say similar things about Mitch. I think Mitch is a great player, and I think there was a really good thread from someone over at the Strickland this week on Twitter who, like, exploited a lot of the film and, like, showed.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, it was actually really good.
I think Ariel. He can do, like, things you can't teach. He could do things that there's not five other centers in the league that could do. And that stuff, that matters, especially when you're talking about how pick and roll coverage is the most important thing you could do on defense, probably more important than switching, which he could do also as a vertical threat on offense. So, like, you know, I wish I had a better answer for your question. That's the best I can do.
No, it's all good. It's just, the whole thing about this whole season was we're getting guys that fit the culture, right? Even Randall talked about it too on the Woj pod, even later, like, guys that do come, they're going to try to fit the culture, right? So I feel like Kemba, Fournier, all these guys, like, they're somewhat, like, they're different in their own way, but they're similar when it comes to personality, when it comes to working and stuff like that. I don't know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, yeah, it was just on my mind. It's pretty good. The answer was pretty right. I don't have a problem with it. I just wanted to call, you know, check in with you guys. That's pretty much it. That's it.
We appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Mello. Thank you, sir. You as well. Be safe during the hurricane.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
Yes. And on that note, man, this Andrew, this talk about a show that went off the rails, right?
I was not expecting to have to hear you defend what I honestly didn't think much of, especially since you corrected yourself with the Melo, the RJ contract that 5 for $125, which was the contract Jeremy and I suggested in the first place. So if anything, all three of us are wrong. I had no idea this is how today was going to go, but you know,
listen, that's what makes the green room. That's what makes the green room fun. You never know. On a down note, I my understanding from Andrew is we have a ton of people calling line up.
I let the chat know. I let the chat know. We're good.
Let me at least
go ahead.
As a person.
Explain away.
My daughter's fifth birthday party is today. She's doing some kind of gymnastics thing, and so I am now, as I speak to you, sitting in a Party City parking lot about to go pick up balloons. After which, I have to run about five other errands and then get my wife and kids to this gymnastics place somewhere in Mineola, I think. So I have to end things at the hour mark today. So I can't take any more callers. But I definitely appreciate the energy. This was fun.
Yes. And I also apologies for committing you to this next Saturday, but we'll stay on a little longer next week. Although it seems like 9 a.m. worked, which
yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
But we'll stay on longer next week so we can get as many people up here as possible yeah, and give everybody equal amount of time as well.
I will absolutely do that because next weekend I will be I'm not going to say what it is yet. You know what it is. I'll be doing
something. I do.
I will be doing a menial task that I could do while engaging with callers that will take a very, very long time. So it works out for the best.
There you go. And just shout out to Mensa in the chat, married man, who offered me his sympathies and his related empathy because he is apparently in this hell with me. While on vacation, getting the back-to-back alerts, John, I don't think you know this because it was the Mets and the Jets that it happened to, but that Carl Lawson tore his Achilles and
that,
Jacob DeGrom is shut down for the year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That happened legit in the same hour. And I, again, was not on Twitter when that happened. And it was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to vacation. I'm just not going to let it ruin my high. I told myself I was going to detach. And you want to know something even funnier? One of the trips we took in New England, and we'll wrap up with this. One of the trips we took in New England was we went to Foxborough so I could see Gillette Stadium and like give it the middle finger. And I got it. We got to Foxborough, like the home of the Patriots, when the news about the Jets' big free agent signing tore his Achilles happened. So I all at once I got to experience the Patriots Hall of Fame and, you know, the Jets probably sticking to mediocre again this season. And that is how we end Spotify Green Room this Saturday.
You know who's not mediocre? RJ Barrett, because RJ Barrett's awesome. And that's the last thing that I'm going to say on this Green Room.
There you go. That's the craziest part is of the teams I root for, the Knicks have gone all the way to the top now for most dependable for a source of like stability and probably even like performance for the upcoming season. So we'll see. Thank you everybody for tuning in for today's Saturday morning Green Room. If you dig the show and you're listening on the podcast, please head over to iTunes, drop a 5-star rating and a review. As John and I said, we'll try to be back here next Saturday a little longer so that way more of you can get up here. John, do you have anything before you go?
No, just I love everybody. I'm sorry everybody hates me sometimes, but enjoy your Saturday. Stay healthy. And
so, hold on. Is today Scarlett Ray's birthday?
No. Her actual birthday is in September, but because of events yet to come, we will not be able to do her party in Long Island during September. So we're getting it out of the way now so she can have it with all of her preschool friends.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, well, happy extremely early birthday. We want pictures on Twitter, yes, either from you or from D, of you doing the gymnastics as well. And everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Saturday.